Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Chris Hedges, the author of a new book, The World as It Is, Dispatches on the Myth of Human Progress. In 2002, he's part of the team at the New York Times that won the Pulitzer Prize for coverage of global terrorism. He was also received the Amnesty International Global Award for Human Rights. Now he writes primarily about America and the Middle East and politics and society. His books include War is a Force That Gives Us Meaning, What Every Person Should Know About War, American Fascists, The Christian's Right and the War on America, and Empire of Illusion, The End of Literacy and the Triumph of Spectacle. Welcome to Background Briefing, Chris Hedges.
Thank you.
And we clearly are in a moment here where there may be awakening. We've just been talking about early in the program about the extrajudicial killing of two American citizens that have been largely celebrated in this country. With a constitutional lawyer and a specialist on Yemen. We talked a little bit about the Arab Spring in terms of Yemen and the extent to which we are not necessarily on the side of the Arab Spring because we're tied to the Saudi peace process that's going nowhere. In terms of our own country, there are sort of rumors or rumblings that there's something that's going on that's even being described as the American autumn. Do you think, do you feel this is happening?
I think it could. The tinder is there, and it has been there for some time. What's the spark that's going to set it alight? I think this may be it. You know, I've spent a lot of time down with the protesters occupying Wall Street, and I'm pretty impressed. They're incredibly well organized. They're very smart. They're very savvy. They've thought all this stuff through carefully, and most importantly, they're resilience is amazing. They're not going anywhere.
And do you think they'll inspire more people to join their ranks?
It already has. We've already seen movements, copycat movements in San Francisco, Boston, even Tampa, Florida, Chicago.
Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Whether it's going to grow, how it's going to grow, these are just unknowns. I mean, even the organizers themselves don't know. But these corporations know only one word, and that's more. They will push and push and push, and take and take and take as much as they can, you know, until there's nothing left. And the only mechanism we have, to resist is through civil disobedience. The traditional, formal structures of power do not work, including the Democratic Party, the electoral system, the judiciary, legislative branch, the systems of communications are wholly owned subsidiaries of the corporate state. The organizers in Wall Street and around the country have woken up to that fact.
So who is apart from yourself, is putting out this simple message, which I think people probably in a kind of inchoate, nascent way, they understand the disparity of wealth is growing. They understand their own lives are getting more and more difficult. They understand the middle class is shrinking. They understand the enormous number of people that are out of work. But the simple kind of message that you're putting across of how we've almost become slaves to a corporate oligarchy and our politics are completely captured by money, and that there is an alternative, that the only way to take America back from its capture by the oligarchs and their money through their political shills is for the people to show up. The political process is still alive, isn't it? I mean, the Constitution's alive. The tools are there. It's just the will that's lacking.
The Constitution, I mean, you know, the legal system has been completely perverted, rewritten, reformed, reconfigured to serve the interests of the corporate state and the security and surveillance state, which, of course, is a natural outgrowth of the corporate state. First, they rule through fraud, and when the fraud is exposed, they rule through force. I mean, who's out there? I think that there are certainly movements and people out there, Adbusters, these kinds of groups that get it, although it's a Canadian group. In terms of, you know, writers and intellectuals, we're a pretty small number. Cornel West has been supportive and outspoken in his critique of the Obama administration and the Democratic Party. But in terms of those of us who have been calling for some time for an abandonment of traditional politics and exclusive forms of civil disobedience, we're a small group. However, I think if you look at the grassroots efforts that are fueling these movements, all of these people have a political consciousness that the, the mandarins who purport to sort of dominate our intellectual life don't have.
Well, Chris Hedges, again, we're talking about Chris's call in his article at Truth Dig, The Best Among Us, asking, are we rebels or slaves? And in the context of the growing protest movement in this country against Wall Street, against the disparity in wealth, against the shrinkage of the middle class, against the war on working America, and also the war on the environment. I mean, you can't, these things are entwined. The right wing press in this country are just loving this whole idea of Solyndra being an example of some kind of weird evidence to suggest that we don't need to have a problem with global warming. The Republicans almost shut down the government over $1.6 billion in trying to increase mileage efficiency and decrease global warming. You can see the Koch brothers have essentially bought the political process. And on the other side, you've got Obama desperately trying to raise money from Wall Street, who are apparently going to give all their money to Mitt Romney. And so is there any in this forthcoming election, in terms of the choices, is there any chance that there'll be a choice here? Will the people step up and support somebody, or will the oligarchs buy the next round?
I think the point, the broader point, is that it doesn't matter who you support. Either you serve corporate interests or you're out. And Obama has served corporate interests as assiduously as did George W. Bush.
But what about us doing that, Chris? I mean, I can't understand why people buy brawny paper towels and Dixie cups and support the Koch brothers. They're at war with the average American. They're trying to impoverish our lives. They are on the attack.
Impoverish. I mean, the protesters are very right to twin this to the environmental crisis, because the same forces that are reconfiguring American society into a kind of neo-feudalism that are going after the education budget and Social Security because they want that money for themselves are destroying the ecosystem on which the human species depends for life. And there is no force, party, politician, mechanism within the structures of power that are going to stop them. The only way we're going to stop them is to do what we're doing, and that is to get out into the street. And frankly, we don't have very much time left. The pace of global warming and the effects of global warming, in fact, are far greater and far more accelerated than were predicted by most climate scientists. Forests are dying. Temperatures are rising. The polar ice caps are melting. We are enduring freak weather patterns, hurricanes, droughts, tornadoes, and they'll kill us because the only mantra they chant is profit, profit, profit. And they're too stupid and too blind to realize that they will be exterminated with the rest of us. I mean, that's really the point that we face. And they get it. I mean, they get it in these plazas. They get it in these streets. The political system doesn't work. And to sit around and talk about who you're going to vote for, or what the Republicans debate said, and this is just an utter, complete waste of time. It's what they want, because the power systems themselves are not in any way inconvenienced, monitored, regulated, controlled, or inhibited by either of the two major political parties. And I know from having spent a lot of time in the Wall Street protests that everybody in Liberty Plaza knows gets that.
But Chris Hedges, then what about the idea of doing what you can to take money away from your money away from the Koch brothers? If the Koch brothers,
That's good, but it's broader than that too. We have to break the whole cycle of the consumer society. We have to break what the corporate state has instilled in us, which is consumption as a kind of inner compulsion. We have to recover other values of thrift, of simplicity, humility, in order to reorient the way we relate to each other and to the wider world if we are going to survive as a species. So, yeah, you're very right. I mean, don't buy anything owned by the Koch brothers, although they own a lot. But it's broader than that. Disconnect as fast and as much as possible from the consumer culture.
Well, as if we needed any evidence, I recently, Chris Hedges, interviewed Ellen Schultz, who's a veteran reporter with the Wall Street Journal. She's written a book called Retirement Heist about how pensions are being stolen by corporations. It is the most heartbreaking book. I mean, to realize the callousness out there.
Yeah.
And I don't understand in this country how it is that we have this class society. I mean, all the right-wing press are crying foul, class warfare, class warfare. It's such an absurdity, since the wealthy have already won, and arguably we're all prisoners of war, of a class war that they've won.
I spent a lot of time in talking in Death of the Liberal Class, which goes all the way back to World War I, about the concerted and organized destruction of populist and radical movements, whether the Wobblies, the old CIO, the Communist Party, Eugene Debs, and then the disemboweling of liberal institutions, that going after figures like Henry Wallace ran for president in 48, used to be Roosevelt's vice president, as being soft on communism. That is just the way that they broke all of the traditional institutions that made incremental and piecemeal reform possible, and essentially killed the system. And what is so inspiring about these movements is that although they don't always know the history, they have found the spirit of and the importance of rebellion, that the question is not, as Karl Popper pointed at, how do we get good people to rule? That's the wrong question. Most people attracted to power are at best mediocre, which is Obama, or venal, which is Bush. The question is, how do we stop the power elite from doing as much damage as possible? And that comes through movements that make the power elite frightened. And frankly, the power elite in the financial district of New York City is terrified. They have turned Lower Manhattan into the green zone, barricaded every street, dozens and dozens of police paddy wagons, patrol cars, motorcycle police. It's just staggering. But they understand far better than even you or I do how utterly corrupt and gamed the system is. What they don't want is for the rest of the country, what the protesters call the 99%ers, which is us, to have that kind of consciousness, because we do have a power in numbers to bring them down. But that's not going to be by going to the voting booth.
But Chris Hedges, in all of these movements, if you go back to the anti-slavery movement, there was a religious and moral component here. And that's what I'm wondering about, is whether there's any traction in a discussion about what it means to be an American, what our society is, whether we do have a society. If you have this 1% that extracts all the wealth for themselves, and just going back to Ellen Schultz's book, Retirement Heist, the systematic way in which they have looted the pensions of all of these people who worked all of their lives and paid into these pensions, and then they take all the money away through sleight of hand and through legislative games that they've played in so-called pension reform in the Congress, And then they take all this money and give it to themselves. And they've already got tons and tons of money. The only people who are getting pensions now in corporate America are the executives.
Right. Well, I mean, this is that's just a window into the
Exactly. It's a window. But I'm saying, what is it about these people that see themselves as being more valuable than their fellow Americans? And what is it about
what qualities does a corporation celebrate? Psychopaths. The same qualities that are celebrated in popular culture on reality television. You know,
like a Donald Trump type of thing where, you know, you're fired.
An ability for manipulation, for a kind of false sincerity, for self-aggrandizement, an incapacity for remorse or guilt, utterly using any kind of friendships or bonds of trust as, essentially stepping stones for your own. I mean, these are the values that are celebrated at Goldman Sachs and Citibank and everywhere else and replicated in sort of popular manifestations on shows, on television. The only time we ever see poor people, on the corporate media is when they appear on shows like Jerry Springer and we laugh at them. These people are sick. Look, I went to school with a lot of them. I got a scholarship to a boarding school when I was 10. Part of my anger at the power elite is that I know who they are. I mean, I have friends who work at BlackRock. I know these people. And they are sick, demented, selfish, and in some cases, patently evil. And they will take your pensions. Look, we live in a country where it is now legally permissible for corporations to hold sick children hostage while their parents bankrupt themselves trying to save their sons or daughters. That's the kind of world we live in. And we've got to get out and take it back.
But what does it say about us, Chris, that we let this happen? This is only the 1%. There's 99% of us.
I don't want to keep slogging my books, but I mean, Empire of Illusion is about how we are the most illusioned society on the face of the planet. We are awash in electronic hallucinations. We are fed a form of magical thinking that the reality is never an impediment to whatever we desire. Oprah does it. The Christian right does it. The self-help gurus like Tony Robbins do it. Positive psychologists do it. Hollywood does it. If we just dig deep enough within ourselves, if we focus on happiness, if we grasp that we are truly exceptional, if we believe in Jesus, we'll have everything we want. And that is the mantra that is just pumped out over the airwaves hour after hour after hour. And it is kind of a collective hypnosis, mass self-delusion.
And of course, it's the antithesis of political action.
It's been effective in terms of disempowerment. But now, I mean, a lot of these young people down in Liberty Square, they're highly educated. I mean, they've all done everything right. They've gone to great schools and they got out there and they didn't want to become tools for Wall Street.
But is that the next movement? Is it possible because these kids don't have jobs because corporate America has stolen so much that they don't even want to provide jobs like the Henry Ford's adage? You know, you got to pay people enough to buy your product.
And remember, they're all in debt. They've got staggering debt.
Right. From these complete crooked schools that take taxpayer money, which the politicians have.
The hope now is that, you know, when I go to demonstrations in Washington with Veterans for Peace, God bless them, I'm the youngest person there often. But this is a youth-driven movement.
So you've got the kids that there's going to be more and more kids that can't get a job, and they've got this staggering debt from these crooked diploma mills that the Congress have set up and enabled. And then you've got the unions are joining these movements. So give us a sense, just in closing, Chris Hedges, of why you feel that given the choice between being a rebel or a slave, there may be a few more rebels stepping up.
Because even if the New York City police go in within an hour and shut this whole thing down, we've won. Because within the DNA of everyone who's been there, and at this point we're talking about several thousand people, they have been provided with an alternative vision, not only of community, because they're highly organized, but it's non-hierarchical. It's pretty amazing, pretty impressive. But they've recognized that they're not alone. And one of the things that the corporate state has worked so assiduously to do is to make sure we are all atomized, disconnected from each other. And I mean, you know, disconnected physically. Because when you sit in front of a computer screen or you tweet or watch your TV, or you're still alone. And those people who came to Liberty Plaza aren't alone, and they know they're not alone. And the communal bond that has been created is what is most dangerous to the power elite. And that's already started. So I've been a reporter too long to tell you where this is going to go. I don't know. Nobody knows where it's going to go. But at this point, there aren't any excuses left. Either you get out and support this movement, and that means you get out in the street, you get out with your body, or you become complicit in a monstrous evil.
Well, I thank you for joining us, Chris Hedges.
Thank you, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Chris Hedges, the author of the new book, The World as It Is, Dispatches on the Myth of Human Progress. He was a part of the 2002 New York Times team that won the 2002 Pulitzer Prize, and he's the author of a number of books, and he has an article at Truthdig, The Best Among Us, that asks rhetorically whether or not we are rebels or slaves. So what do we learn on Background Briefing today? We began talking with U.S. constitutional lawyer Bruce Fine, who was a deputy attorney general in the Reagan administration. He's the author of American Empire Before the Fall. He actually described or equated the U.S. government's killing of two U.S. citizens in Yemen the same as Putin killing the KGB defector in London using polonium to poison him. And he feels that this will give a license to our enemies abroad to attack us with impunity. That the whole idea of due process and has literally gone out the window, and that we, even in World War II, we at least gave Nazi saboteurs a trial before we executed them, but now using predator drones, we can zap anybody, including zapping people in the United States, which is not inconceivable. He asked the rhetorical question whether or not American people would, in fact, give away their civil liberties if the president said there's an impending al-Qaeda attack and we've got to suspend all of rights to meet this attack, a scary possibility. Then Sheila Karapika, who's a specialist on Yemen at the American University in Cairo, she talked about the impact inside Yemen, which, you know, is adding a spark to a tinderbox there. We should be dealing with trying to bring the country together and supporting the democracy movement, not inflaming things. And then finally, we talked with Chris Hedges about what might be the American autumn in terms of the Arab Spring. And he basically asked the question in terms of the Wall Street protesters, who he thinks everybody in this country should join. He asked the question, are you a rebel or a slave? I'm Ian Masters. This has been Background Briefing. I'd like to thank producer Spencer Downing and Kim Nassiter. This program is available for podcasts, and you can sign up there at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.